bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive, active, moving. And we pray that your word would be active and moving and alive in our lives as we are with you today. And I do pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Guess what I'm talking about today? I want to talk about what C.S. Lewis calls capital J joy. And that's, for Christians, is different from being happy. You know, joy bubbles up in us when a child is born or when we worship here in church. I always love it, the smiles I see when there's a baptism. You know, there's just that sense of joy of being together with the family and the child. And when we feel a slight breeze on our backs on that perfect summer day, joy just kind of lifts up our hearts. But the capital J joy I'm talking about is with us even in the darkest of times. It lives deep in our hearts and deep in our souls. King David in the Old Testament wrote about that in that wonderful Psalm, Psalm 23, where he wrote, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You prepare a table." Actually, it's a banquet table. And the Lord, the Good Shepherd, is there, and David's friends are there, and they're around this banquet and celebrating. And he goes on, "And you anoint my head with oil, a sign that you're an honored guest." And he goes on, "My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life." And so he's walked through the valley of the shadow of death. And yet there is this joy that kind of comes up into him. It has depth. It has breadth, even in the midst of the darkest times. So where does this capital J joy come from? Well, in today's epistle, Paul writes about being in Christ. Two little words. He mentions it 9 times in today's epistle, but he mentions it 164 times in his letters. It's important. By contrast, the word Christian is used only 3 times in his letters. So to be in Christ is important, and it is the way in for us to live in this capital J joy. So I'd like to invite you to go on a short journey with me to discover a little bit of what it means to be in Christ. Now, whole libraries have been written about this, so this is going to be a short journey. But in the reading today, Paul writes, "In Christ, we have redemption through Christ's blood." And I'll get back to that in a moment. And, he says, "the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace which he lavished on us." Sometimes it's hard for us to take on board that our sins are really forgiven. All of them. But again, King David got it right when he wrote Psalm 103. And there he wrote, "As far as the east is from the west, so far God removes our sins from us." Isn't that a wonderful picture, a wonderful image? And David knew what he was talking about. When I was exploring what it was to be a Christian, I thought that God might be able to forgive other people's sins, but not mine. My sins were too big to be forgiven. But over time, I realized that this idea that I had was, in fact, pride. My pride. Who did I think I was, that the God who created the heavens and the earth and created the whole universe would not be able to forgive my sins? Hello? So, as I humbled myself before God, I also discovered that his forgiveness is always personal. It's not abstract, something way out there. It was focused just on me. Just as his forgiveness is just focused on you, on us. It's personal. Jesus comes to us and says, I forgive your sins. Therefore, this amazing act of personal forgiveness by God involves a relationship with God and us. And I don't know about you, but for me, that kind of brings up a joy in my heart that God is doing that for me. And because we're forgiven by God, he sets us free. And the weight and the burden of our sins are taken from us. And we're able to walk with the one who set us free, Jesus, in a relationship for the rest of our lives. Our short journey will take us now to a different letter that Paul wrote in Romans, Romans 8. I think you know this one pretty well, too. There he writes, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not only are we forgiven in Christ, but we are loved, dearly loved by Jesus. And nothing is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I love the phrase that I hear from time to time. I've heard it. It talks about how we are loved sinners. Yes, we do sin, but we are loved by God. So the last part of this little short journey takes us to Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, and that's chapter 5. And there he writes, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this, he says, is from God. It's a gift, an amazing, generous gift of grace. And our response as we are made new creations in Christ, I think, has to be joy. On our spiritual journey, our enemy will sometimes whisper in our ears or shout at us that we are unworthy to be forgiven, that God could not possibly love us, and that we are certainly not new creations. That's a lie. And the person that is saying that to us is a liar. The truth is that when we are in Christ, we are forgiven, loved by God, and we become new creations because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. When Jesus cried from the cross, it is finished. It was finished. Satan had thrown everything he had in his arsenal at Jesus. Deception, betrayal, abandonment, death. But as Jesus said, it is finished. All of Satan's weapons were broken by Jesus' selfless sacrifice on the cross. Satan was defeated. Now we can go back to Ephesians, where it says, in Christ we have redemption through his blood. Jesus redeemed us on the cross, saved us from the consequences of our sin. When we are in Christ, we who once lived in darkness are brought into the light by the light of the world through Jesus' blood shed on the cross. And how do we know that? On the third day, Jesus was resurrected from the dead. The old had passed away, the new had come. And we are invited to take part in that new life by being in Christ. And as Paul writes, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. For over 2,000 years, people have been transformed by Jesus' personal forgiveness, his love he offers us, and the new life that we have in him. By God's grace, when we turn away from the things we know in our lives that are wrong, apologize to God from the depths of our heart, we find ourselves in Christ, a relationship that continues all our lives. But there's just a bit more on this short journey of discovery, what it means to be in Christ. This is how Paul wrote it this morning. When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of our salvation, we were included in Christ. In that belief, we were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. And what is our inheritance? Eternal life with Jesus. That includes our resurrection from the dead, just as Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And what a day of joy that will be when we are raised from the dead with people that we love and with Jesus. C.S. Lewis wrote about this in his book, Mere Christianity. He said, imagine yourself as a living house. Now, just take a moment. Think about that. Imagine yourself as a living house. You there? All right. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps, you can understand what he's doing. He's getting the drains, the gutters right, and stops the leaks in the roof, and so on. You knew that those jobs needed doing, and so you're not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably and does not seem to make sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he is building quite a different house from the one you thought of. Throwing out a new wing here, putting up an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were going to be made into a decent little cottage. But he is building a palace. And he intends to come and live in it himself. Isn't that wonderful? God intends to live in us, and he does exactly that by his Holy Spirit. Underneath all that life throws at us is a capital J joy. It is a joy that lives deep within us. It has stamina, endurance. It's a joy that we understand and we are thankful for as a gift given graciously by God, especially in the darkest times of our lives. A joy that rejoices in our God, who forgives us, loves us, makes us new creations. A joy where the Holy Spirit chooses to live in us and through us. And all we can say is thanks be to God. Amen.